Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning from Sabrina Williams. You're on with Conversations with the Diva. We're going to play our intro because I was playing Lady Princess's music. Oh, I love her. Turn it up for Jesus. So here's our intro, and then we're going to welcome our guest.
The Diva is uplifting, encouraging, educating, and entertaining. The Diva is live, and the Diva is taking calls. It's time for Conversations with the Diva. Here's your host, Sabrina Williams.
Good morning, America. Do you guys remember that show? I think it still comes on. I think it was Kelly and Regis. I think it's Kelly and Michael. They probably changed the name. Well, we're live from Las Vegas. It's a beautiful 7:31 in the morning, and it's a beautiful day. We have our callers online. Who do we have online? We have somebody on the phone. Mark, is that you?
Hi, this is Mark.
Good morning. You guys are calling from that morning from a number that we didn't recognize, 11111. Alrighty. Mark, morning, and welcome to Conversations with the Diva. We appreciate you taking your time to come on the air with us. Mark, how do you say your last name? Ala or Ayla?
Ayla, long A.
Ayla. Long A. I think I did practice grammar in school. Mark Ayla's doubles on fiddle and pedal steel guitar in addition to lead vocals. He began playing pedal steel guitar in 1974 and fiddle in 1976. He's mostly self-taught. Now, that is amazing on both instruments. However, he has instructions on the pedal steel under Blackie Taylor and Al Perkins. Mark himself has taught. You're going to have to tell us about that. Mark himself has taught both instruments to numerous students over the years. He has recorded for producer and country music artist Al Perkins, as well as the bands Frontier Justice, Saddle Tramp, Cheyenne, and the Tony Corral Band. His fiddle and pedal steel guitar were featured in a professional music video by the Tony Corral Band entitled She Got One Hell of a Memory, Yeah We Do, which can be viewed on YouTube. During his eight-year tenure with the band Cheyenne, Mark wrote and performed original songs and recorded three albums and other artists. Oh, that was my part of the artist. All right. Anyway, Mark, welcome. I hope that introduction did you well. We appreciate you taking your time. So tell us, first, I just want to know who taught you, well, you're self-taught, but who inspired you to want to play, like, music? Was it a family member or a band or something? Who inspired you?
Well, I guess I've had music all my life. My parents always played music in the house, you know, show tunes, just innumerable number of various artists. And I think as a young boy, I remember hearing fiddle and just thinking, there was something about the fiddle that I just really, really liked. And so that one goes back to a very young age. And then the pedal steel, kind of interestingly enough, Jerry Garcia played some pedal steel on Teach Your Children, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tune many moons ago. And I remember trying to work it out. I was playing guitar at the time, and I couldn't figure out how to play what was being played. And one of my friends in a band that I was playing with at the time said, oh, that's a pedal steel. And I said, what's a pedal steel? And he told me about a guy, Blackie Taylor, who sold pedal steels. This was back in Hawaiian Gardens at that time. And I went and I saw what a pedal steel looked like, and I asked him if he played, and he played a little bit for me, and it was love at first sound. I said, that's what I want to play. So it goes back to probably about 1974 is when I bought my first pedal steel guitar, and I've just always liked those two instruments.
Could you tell the audience the difference between the fiddle and the violin.
My understanding of the difference between the two is that the fiddle has on the bridge, it's been cut a little flatter on top because you're playing two strings at the same time a lot. They call them double stops. And sometimes three strings. You're going back and forth between the three strings, such as Orange Blossom Special. And that's really the only difference that I've ever, you know, been educated about. Same bow, same, basically, same instrument. I can go into any violin shop and play it like a fiddle. It's easier to play when it has a flatter bridge.
Okay. Now, tell us about the Tony Corral's band. Tell us about that. What was it like?
Say that again. I had a hard time hearing you.
Oh, my phone. Sorry about that. I'm on the phone and computer. Tell us about the Tony Corral's band.
Well, Tony Corrales, that band is playing in Tucson, Arizona. They're a bunch of really nice guys. I have sat in and played with them live several times, and I've also done some recording for them. And they, one of the members in the band, Mike Yanoska, he's the one that's responsible for producing a lot of the CDs, the Cheyenne CDs that I've played on, and I've known Mike for many, many years. He's actually done this One Hell of a Memory. He is actually the one that recorded and produced it, and that's Tony Corrales singing, and it's actually a very, very well done professional video. It's on YouTube, and you can people can look that up. It's the Tony Corrales Band. She's got One Hell of a Memory. I have been doing recording for them and other bands over the years, and I really enjoy the recording aspect. It's just it's a lot of fun. It's real creative. I get to be, you know, it's more spontaneous many times. It's just, and they've just got a real nice band that they play a lot out there in the Tucson area, and they've been together a number of years now. You can find them playing almost every weekend out in that area.
All right. Well, we're going to play one of your songs. I'm just going to play it, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. And what we're going to want to know is what was behind you writing it and what were you thinking? Here we go.
Okay.
Mark, tell us about the song.
Well, it was inspired from real life. I hope I don't ruin it for people. She did not die, but I went a little farther with it as part of the sentimental aspect. I hope it's not one of those that's a little too mawkish, but it was. It came actually, and I'll tell you, much of it I wrote in a car in my head, and was hoping that I was going to remember what was going through my head on the way home. And I remember Mike Yanoska of the Cheyenne band. He said to me, we had some people drop out of the band while we were doing some recording, and he said, you're going to have to come up with some songs. So I remember driving home and thinking, what would I write about? And it's basically a relationship that did end. I've had contact with that person over the years, and they are just a wonderful, wonderful person. They've gone through a lot of things in their life also. And I just thought it would make a nice start for the song, and that's how it came about. Just you write from what you know and life experience.
Wow, and that's awesome that you give them credit for you said positive things. I like that. Do you remember your first time that you got up on stage and played, and what was that like for you?
I remember as a young, I was a Boy Scout. And I was supposed to play, I played bugle, and I'm going to guess I was probably about 12 years old, maybe 13 years old. I was playing for a retirement, the principal at a school, and I had practiced taps just incessantly for several weeks before I knew I was going to play. And I remember playing the very day of it, and my mom kept telling me, you better stop playing because you're playing tonight. And I remember, what I remember of it is just completely botching it on stage. I was back behind a curtain, and I remember leaving and walking home because it was such an awful rendition of it. And I remember my parents telling me that everybody loved it. It was just fine. So that goes back a number of years. On the positive end of this, I've always enjoyed playing live. You get a kind of a nervousness. I think you're always a little nervous until you get kind of what they call locked in the zone. And I remember that was a real issue for me for a number of years playing live, feeling like I couldn't get my fingers to do what they needed to do. And I think overcoming that has been, it's been one of the most important aspects of my playing, just be able to go into a studio and sit down and play or play in front of people. It's just one of those things I've had to overcome. And in talking to other musicians, very common, and I remember talking to Al Perkins about it, and he played with a lot of big names, and I wondered what that was like for him. And he said that it was it happened to him too.
And that leads us into our next question, Mark. What advice would you give a new person coming into who wants to be a fiddle player, who wants to perform in competitions, or just do performances?
I think probably the most important thing is to get out there and do it. Do it with other musicians. Practice, 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 practice. Nowadays we have access to any song that you want to learn. There's people that will teach you how to do that song on the computer. You can break down all these pieces of music. We have recorders that will slow things down that will allow you to hear it without changing the tone. There's just an infinite amount of ways to learn your instrument. But really, learn your instrument, and play with other people. Have people be honest with you and let you know. Does that sound like cats in a bag to you, or does it sound like really enjoyable music? And just doing it, having. You have to be driven, and you have to really want to do it if you're going to be a professional musician. And you have to learn how to play in time, in tune with others, which mm-hmm. is just—it's just experience. That's—it's going to take time. I remember some of my first gigs feeling like I couldn't mm-hmm. hear my instrument. It's real different on a stage than it is. You know, when you're playing at home, and no matter how well you think you know that piece of music, you can get on stage and you just go blank. You can say, I knew this so well. Why does it sound so different to me? Or why am I forgetting lines? Or, you know, cadence can be different than what you're used to playing. You know, how you hear your instrument, how you're hearing your instrument with other instruments. So it can be difficult, and it takes time to work all of that out.
Exactly. And that leads me into something you were saying. People, you need to practice, and also those people that can't sing or you can't play instrument, your family needs to be honest, so you need to get people's opinion, because I used to think I could sing until one day one of my friends said, you know what, you can't sing, and I'm like, okay, and don't ask your parents, because your parents are always, they just sometimes lie to you and say, yes, you can sing, because they don't want to hurt your feelings. So when you want honest opinions, ignore the family and get not unless you have a brother or sister who'll say, hey, you know, you just can't sing, man, or you can't play. Not everybody's meant to be a fiddler or a violin, but you know what? You have a gift. I just want to say that. Thank you very much.
I really
appreciate
that.
You have a gift. No, you have a gift. Me, I played violin in church, and I love the violin. My son can play the violin and fiddle together. Now, he's an amazing young man. That's Eli. So you teach. Tell us what it's like to teach people music versus being the one who's taught music.
I enjoy teaching a great deal, because the people that taught me, and I'm thinking one of the first persons that comes to mind, Al Perkins, very patient. He would record things for me and break it down slowly. And so for me to teach, it's I'm giving it away. This was a man that played with a lot of famous names over the years. And he was very patient, very available, and he was giving it away to me, and I look at it as giving it away to other people, and I enjoy seeing people progress on their instrument. I remember teaching a lady, this has been, probably 15, 20 years ago. She had never played an instrument in her life. And she wanted to learn some fiddle tunes, and I said it can be done. You just have to spend some time with it. And I would teach her every week, and she got to a point where she was able to play several fiddle tunes. She didn't want to become a professional player. She just wanted to be able to play a few tunes. So for me, it's very enjoyable. I've had people tell me that I'm very patient, and I try to make people feel comfortable and teach them what they want to learn. I want to try and break the instrument down and make it as simple looking for them, so it's not such a overwhelming task. And so one of the things that I do is I'll show them how they can play very simple things in music without a lot of without a lot of complications, and kind of encourage them to see that they can actually in a very short period of time put something on, and the scale that I've showed them in a given key, they can play along to music and play whatever they feel like comes out of them for them. So it's teaching has been very, very enjoyable for me.
All righty. We're going to play your next song, and then we're going to ask you to talk about it. Here we go.
Okay.
But I hope I can hold you, honey, when I get back home. On a cold day in Colorado, I was down on my luck, using my last dollar in a crossfire. I dreamed I ought to be getting back
Mike Inoska, who is a very prolific writer. I can tell you he does have a page on, he's got his own page, and he does sell his CDs. But the song itself was just, I liked the beat, and I liked the fact that both the pedal steel and the fiddle were examples that you could use in your show when people, sometimes people don't even know what a pedal steel guitar is, and there's pedal steel in it, and it's to me, it's one of those classic country songs. It's telling a story, it's a fairly simple chord structure, and it has that older sound, old-time fiddle sound, in some of the lead lines that you hear in the song.
And Mark, for just for those listeners that's going to listen to this on the archives, just there's Fender guitar in there, and so is there a difference between like a Fender guitar versus a pedal steel, so people really understand the difference?
Well, pedal steel guitar is a very different animal than a guitar or even a lap steel. Pedal steel guitar has pedals that raise in lower strings, and it also has knee levers that raise in lower strings. You play it with a bar. It's an instrument that you sit at. Some people they've thought it was a keyboard. When talking to people, they've asked about it. What is that? And it's that instrument that has what I would call just real smooth changes from one chord to the next, where strings are ringing and others changing. And it just, it's one of those, I think it's just, I remember hearing Al Perkins play a piece for me and just being struck at the, it just was just a beautiful sound. In fact, that's what came out of my mouth, and for years I used to hear myself saying that at the, I was recording it and on one of those little cheapy recorders that we had back then, and I remember saying that was just beautiful. And that's what I liked about the instrument was the beauty that you can play any type of music, jazz, and they do. There's different tunings that they will play jazz, not just country. And in fact, we've got a young man out there today that's using it in a rock and blues way. His name is escaping me at the time. But a very talented young man, and it, you'll hear it in all kinds of music. Sometimes they just use it for the harmonics that they can get out of it to accentuate music that may not even be country music. So it's a wonderful instrument.
Awesome. Now, what do you do when you're not playing the fiddle, pedal steel guitar? What are your hobbies?
Well, I love trains. That's a huge one for me. I enjoy traveling.
I wonder why.
In fact, one of the songs that we did and I recorded and wrote, and it's not one of the two songs that you played, it's about riding freight trains, riding boxcars. And I enjoy, I used to enjoy doing that, just like a hobo, riding around the country, and it was just a form of, I think, escape and adventure for me. Now that I'm getting older, I'm not doing that kind of activity as much. Got a little wiser, but trains are a big piece of my life. I have 5 grandchildren that I love spending time with, and I just I'm trying to think here. There's just, I used to do a lot of reading. I don't do as much, but I'm living right now on a 15-acre olive ranch, so that keeps me busy. And I just, I'm in that part of my life now where I'm just living and enjoying, and the days just run, you know, into the next day.
And that is awesome. And you know what? That leads us into one of our last questions we have for you. And tell people where they can find you at, what you have upcoming, because you do, you actually travel with some of your performances. Is that correct?
Yes. Most of the travel is limited to an hour and a half. We're situated between Fresno and Bakersfield, so I play a lot of gigs in Bakersfield and Fresno area, Clovis, and everything in between. I still do. I still drive to Arizona and play with my friends out there, the Tony Corrales Band. And I'm. I do a lot of gigging up this way. I probably have been playing an average of 2 to 3 times a week for the last. Well, since I've been up here in the last 10 months, I'd say. Playing a lot. I don't have a Facebook page as of yet. As far as just a musician's page, I am on Facebook and people can. There's YouTube videos that I've done with different bands out there. But as far as if anybody wanted to get in touch with me or is living in the local area and is interested in, you know, music lessons, I'm open to do that. And they can find me on Facebook, Mark Ala, A-L-A is the last name. I hope that helps.
It did. And you know what? I wanted to thank one of my best friends. She's been my best friend since we've been in, I think, junior high, Leanne, and I love Leanne, and I want to thank her for getting in touch with you so that we can get you on the air. Mark is going to come back because Mark has a history. Mark is just not a fiddle player. He is actually an overachiever like the diva. He has a master's degree in marriage family therapy. Is that right, Mark? Your
yes.
license?
Uh-huh.
So he's going to come back later on. I think I have him first August or September. I forget. But he's going to come back, and we're going to be talking about some mental health issues because Mark has a really great background in that. This man is an amazing I was going to call him a young man because, to me, when you turn 51, everybody's young. Okay. So, anyway, moving on, I'm so grateful that you took the time to talk to us this morning, and I can't wait for everybody to find out more about you because I'm going to give you guys a little hint. Mark did go back to school. He impressed me as being because a lot of women go back to school. And so you guys are going to hear more about that on his next show, about him going back to school and what it was like for him as a man after 40 going back to school. So that's a show that Mark's going to be on. Mark, I thank you so much. You have a blessed day. Tell Leanne I said hugs, girlfriend. And tell us about, I'll tell you guys, one of the train museums that I know of that's in Riverside, California. Is it still there, Mark, the Orange
Empire Railway. Yes, it is.
Yes, I used to take my sons to that every Sunday because it was the easiest way to get them tired, not let them just run around and run around. I love that museum. And I love the take them on a little train. And, you know, so, yes, I was one of those moms.
I remember one time being out there and seeing the passenger cars going by. They actually run a little train for families, and seeing all these little young people in their faces and waving and through the windows, just having a ball, and very very enjoyable to see that. It was and now that I have grandchildren, that's probably something we're going to be doing in the very near future. But I want to just real quickly say thank you very much for having me on the show, and looking forward to telling my story about going back to school and becoming a licensed marriage and family therapist and what that was like. And the music kind of ties in with that because that's what I was doing while I was putting myself through school. So we'll probably pick that up on another show.
No, and we definitely will. And last night on our show, we were talking about that that a lot of people in the fashion and music industry have actually stellar, like you, backgrounds that they've come from, and they're making new careers or so they're reinventing. And to me, the older generation is motivating the young generation, so that's why I'm so excited for you to be on the show. It seems like the tables are turned. I don't know if a lot of people realize that because the fashion designer last night, she's older and she's has a marriage degree. She's a licensed therapist. One of my really good friends, Mark Roscoe, he's a fashion designer and lawyer and has his degree in psychology too. So it's interesting that the older generation is doing more. So I'm excited for you to encourage our younger generation. You have
the old phrase, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and I have learned a great deal from the older musicians that have gone before me. And I think that's just part of the life cycle, passing it on, especially with instruments like fiddle and pedal steel. You're seeing less and less of it, and keeping that alive is important.
It truly is. Well, this is Conversations with the Diva signing off. Thank you, Mark Alla, for coming on. We look forward to talking to you in the future. You guys have a great day. Thank you to our sponsors, WBDN Media, By Design Network, my great friend Volante Grant for having me on her network. I want to say thank you to Next Level Tennis and Fitness, Danny Bongiorno, for being one of the best trainers in Las Vegas, Nevada. And if you want to be trained like the diva and look hot as me, then you need to call 702-303-3765 and talk to Danny. He also does phone conferences, too, for you. This is Sabrina. Love you guys. Tune in Saturday. We actually have a special show with Real Theme Musician. He is a rapper, but his music is different, and I love it because I usually don't have rappers on, so I'm excited about hearing from him. You guys, peace out. Bye, Mark. Thank you, hon.
Thank you.
Now, that was Mark Alla with Conversations with the Diva. He is an awesome person, and I really appreciate him. Before I leave, I just wanted to do my public service announcement. If you're struggling with mental health or you need therapy or you have family domestic violence and you have a teenager who's struggling with suicide or cutting, please call 211 in your area. If it's life-threatening, immediately get your child to the nearest hospital or call 911. But if it's not life-threatening and your family could use counseling, please call 211 and they refer you to a specialist in your area. I just want you to know you are loved. You're loved by me. You're loved by God. Jeremiah 29:11, God wants to honor you and not prosper you. That's my take on it. All right. Have a great day. See you guys Saturday.